You are listening to a sermon by Annika Kraus, recorded on Sunday, August 8th, 2021 at Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, everywhere we go, we are surrounded by boundaries. Physical boundaries, emotional, social boundaries. Boundaries are the things that make us feel safe and secure as long as our boundaries are respected. And sometimes it's a bit difficult to differentiate between boundaries and expectations. And while I'm not a psychologist, I've come up with a couple of definitions. Boundaries are personal limits for one's own safety and well-being. Boundaries are needs required for a person to feel able to function well in the world. And the violation of boundaries makes a person feel unsafe, unheard, dehumanized, or undervalued. Whereas expectations are thoughts on how others will act or how one should act. When someone does not meet our expectations, it can be disappointing, even painful, but not to the same degree as boundary violations. Expectations are wants and therefore are also subject to error. In other words, one can have either realistic or unrealistic expectations. And just to make it clear as mud, boundaries and expectations also inform each other. But in order to have healthy relationships, it's important to differentiate between the two. So to illustrate the point, I'll share a little story. For a couple of summers, when I was home from AMBS, I was the summer worker at the MCC thrift store in Vancouver. And there we had a female volunteer who had experienced assault in her life. And while she was volunteering there, she was asked by a larger male customer to unlock the knife cabinet for him so he could examine the knives he was considering purchasing. Now, because of her history, she felt unsafe doing that task. That would have been a boundary violation for her. And so she found a coworker to do it instead. And the man was mildly annoyed at having to be passed off to someone else because he expected her to open the cabinet immediately rather than having to wait for her to find somebody else to do it. She did not act as he expected. So you can see the difference between the boundary where the volunteer felt unsafe and the expectation where the man had a want, a reasonable want to get into the cabinet, but despite his want being reasonable, her need took priority. So what does this have to do with the 2 Samuel passage from this morning? Well, most often the story of David and Absalom is described as the story of a wayward son. Even the way the lectionary chops this passage up, you see David as a magnanimous father grieving the death of a son who lost his way. But if you go back into the story, it gets much more complicated. A few chapters prior, we learn that Absalom's beloved sister was violated. She was raped by their half-brother Amnon. And David chose not to punish Amnon because he was the firstborn son and a beloved son. David does not act on his eldest son's very good expectations. And David creates a very major boundary violation with his daughter, Tamar. So Absalom responds by himself creating some heavy violations. He invites his brother to his home for a feast, all of his brothers, and kills Amnon in front of them. In doing so, he betrayed his father's trust. He took his brother's life, and he struck down the king's heir. No wonder he fled after that. After some years had passed, David insisted that Absalom come back. It wasn't so much a request as instruction, asking him, forcing him to come back to Jerusalem when he would have rather stayed where he was. But even despite inviting his son to come back to Jerusalem, David takes another 2 years to actually receive his son in his presence. You can imagine what a warm reception something like that would inspire. Absalom prostrated himself before his father and was ultimately forgiven, which provided the perfect cover as he started gathering an army to usurp his father's throne. Let's just take a moment here to acknowledge how dysfunctional this family is. I would love to see somebody, a professional who works in family systems, break down these few chapters. It would be a very interesting read. And yet history and tradition have laid blame for Absalom's violent end on Absalom himself. But if we read the story through the lens of family and boundaries and expectations, we see that the story is much more complex. The passage read this morning begins after father and son have done irreparable damage to each other. They've caused each other so much grief and heartache. I suspect David is blinded by his crown and unable to see the boundaries of others. You can think that in the way that it describes how David treated Uriah and Bathsheba as well. And Absalom, in turn, hates his father so much he's hell-bent on destroying him. It doesn't seem to me like there are many peaceful options left. Absalom and his rebels take Jerusalem, and David's trained army is fighting to take back control. And yet, despite all this, David tells his men not to kill his son. And when he hears the news that Absalom is dead in 2 Samuel 18:33, David weeps bitterly. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you? He is experiencing immense grief, but I wonder too if there's also an acknowledgement of his part in how things came to pass. This is not the story of a father who loves his son despite that son's rage and bitterness. It's a toxic relationship where they ruin each other. It is a story that shares with God's people the potential horrors of not listening to each other's needs and expectations. But unlike the father-son relationship portrayed in 2 Samuel, the Ephesians passage offers hope and advice on that front. The epistle talks about how the people of God should come together, how we should live side by side in those communities. It's no accident that this passage comes just after a passage labeled by the NRSV as unity in the body of Christ. It's a guide on how to create that unity. It opens with, "So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another." Honesty. Honesty about boundaries, honesty about expectations, and when we or others have failed at either. It's important to understand that people's boundaries and expectations are different. And because they are different, sometimes they need to be spoken out loud for those of us whose boundaries don't assume the same borders. We don't all have the same triggers or histories. Imagine the pain that could be avoided if we were all able to express our boundaries well to each other. In verse 29, it says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up." And continues in verse 31, Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and malice, and be kind to one another. Much of this passage is talking about communication. Be open about where your lines are, and people will be less likely to cross them. Talk with those who have infringed on your boundaries, and you are far less likely to become bitter. Examine your expectations honestly, realizing the differences between wants and needs, and weed out the ones that are unrealistic, and your relationships will be smoother. Moreover, in 5 verse 1, we are told to be imitators of God. And I wonder, could that be talking too about how God is a creator of boundaries? God has commanded us to follow several different boundaries: love of neighbor, love of God, not worshiping idols, financial boundaries. There are lists, although we often don't talk about it in terms of boundaries, they are boundaries. And to break these boundaries is to cause further rifts in our relationship with God. Perhaps we can consider being firm in our boundaries, in our needs in order to thrive, and respecting the boundaries of others as being imitators of God. To do so is to play a role in increasing shalom. Imagine if David and Absalom acted this way. What trauma and death could have been avoided. As things open up around us, we have many opportunities to put this Ephesians passage into practice. COVID has been a threat to our lives for about a year and a half now. It has caused trauma, anxiety, fear, and loss. You could say that the virus itself has violated our boundaries. It has made us feel unsafe and insecure. It has affected livelihoods and caused harm to our mental health. But we aren't going to just bounce back, not even those among us who are ready to get back out there and visit restaurants and go to concerts. And the reality is that we're not all in the same place. We're not all at the same comfort level when it comes to reopening. For those of you who are anxious and nervous, know that your boundaries are valid. You can skip the family gathering that makes you uncomfortable. You can say no to a friend who wants to dine in a restaurant with you. You can choose how you engage with the world, but others can choose their own boundaries as well. Someone whose mental health has plummeted during the pandemic and hopefully has been vaccinated may decide that they will re-enter public gatherings faster than you. The complications come when these differing boundaries are part of a family or part of a community, like a church. But we come back to that honesty portion at the beginning of the Ephesians passage. As churches talk about coming back together and extended families talk about gathering, it is so important to make space for each other, to respect each other. There's no such thing as a perfect reopening. And I think about that a lot as my church is hoping to do some reopening in September, as I heard yours is as well. There's no such thing as a perfect reopening, but there are better and worse ways. So I would encourage you to speak up about your boundaries and expectations rather than being bitter and angry after your boundaries are infringed upon or your expectations aren't met. Rather than following in David and Absalom's footsteps, let us use the wisdom in Ephesians to make honesty, naming our boundaries, a new pandemic skill, and by doing so, contribute to the shalom in a chaotic time. Amen.